AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, how's it going?
It's going really, really good. For, you know, people out there, we always say it's good. Today, we happen to be recording on a Monday. And, you know, a lot of times people go, Mondays, what a drag. I got to go back to work. Right. You know, I hate Mondays. For me, I don't mind Mondays. And I started thinking about why. And I think it's because, you know, the weekend, I really try to, you know, not work as much. I got to admit, I'm still working a little bit over the weekends. But I go do fun things. I spend time with my wife. I spend time with kids. I go out and have, you know, I play golf with friends. And I just get rejuvenated. So when Monday morning hits, I'm feeling good.
No, you know what? I'm very much the same way. Like, I feel like in a way it sort of centers me, right? It sort of makes it like, oh, okay, now I'm back to this. It's like, I love the schedule of like the Monday through Friday thing. And yes, I also work on the weekends, but like to have those like set times, dates to sort of be able to, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess that does kind of bring the balance, right? Of like, okay, I have this set schedule. I have these days where I'm going to do this, and Monday kicks that off. It's like, great. Okay. I'm back in it. I'm back in the mood. And it's funny when I get in that mode of work and I really like focus on that mode for a certain amount of time. And then I turn that off and I, go play golf or go do something that's not work. I completely try to turn that on as well, you know? So it's like, I sort of, in my mind, I have a switch. It used to be a dial, right? Like, okay, let me turn a little, where, right. You know, I would take calls and I would stress out. And no, now I feel like it's got to be a switch. It's an on-off switch. And I feel like that has made it where, at least in my head, it's made it where I can have a little bit better of a balance and focus on both things a little bit more.
Well, the key there is in your head. That scares me a little bit. I don't know what else is going on in your head. But the other thing you said, and the big takeaway I got from what you just were talking about is the word balance. And today, our guest is Christoph Naur. Christoph, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. And I was just enjoying listening to the two of you and talking about, Mondays and, admitting that you're working on weekends. But I love what Russ said, the switch point.
Well, you're the expert on this, on work-life balance, because you're the CEO of Balance 6. Incorporated. And tell us a little bit about what you do at Balance 6.
Kind of like what you already started to address, work-life balance. You know, as a business owner, it's very easy for us to work all the time. You know, I mean, I've had jobs where I dreaded Mondays. Not anymore, but also to what you were referring to in the beginning, you both said I still work weekends, so when you said that, I thought, maybe we should talk. But, but I like what Russ was saying when he said, that whole switch, moving from a dial to a switch, and I think that is, I love that idea, because I think being able to say in the ideal world, on Friday evening, whatever time that is, okay, the switch is turned off now. Now it's me time. Now it's me and my family time. My wife, my kids, my you know, whoever my me time is. And not everybody's married with kids, but we all need time to ourselves to recharge our batteries. And that part cannot be an afterthought. It has to be a conscious decision to do exactly that. Just before our recording tonight, I had a conversation with a client, and he just mentioned he built an addition at his house for a home office. And so we just talked about the benefits and the drawbacks of that. You know, it's really close. I could just walk right over it. Very tempting. Right there. You know? Exactly. And so I said, yes, that you're absolutely right. This is fantastic, but you have to develop the self-discipline. And I know people, that's another term people like. Discipline is, you know, and self-discipline, another term that people like. But that's really up to him to develop that and say, okay, I give myself permission to go over there for half an hour or an hour and set aside, that's it. And then maybe set a little alert or alarm that says, okay, your time is up. Now it's time to go back. You know, the other possibility I said to him, you can put office hours, post them on your home office door. You catch yourself walking to the door, turn around, walk away. If you want to take it a notch up, you know, you can take the key to your home office and give it to your spouse. And if you want to work outside of office hours, you have to ask her for the key to your office. You know,
what happens when your spouse locks you in?
Now that's a whole different story.
Okay, can you help with that problem?
No. Then I would probably refer him to my son, who is getting his license as a marriage family therapist. But that's a good question, you know. So this is really the work I do with my clients is, you know, making sure that they take their own well-being, making it a prior and not an afterthought. When we plan our days and our weeks, you know, we put all the stuff that we have to do for our business on there usually, or at least the appointments we have with clients. The one appointment we don't put on there is an appointment for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and usually when I do any kind of trainings, I like to use this story for two reasons. One, both Carl Jung and I are Swiss. You know, he had a house on the lake of Zurich. I grew up in the outskirts of Zurich. Most people have heard of Carl Jung. Almost nobody has heard of Christoph Naur, right?
Not until this show.
Exactly. This show will change everything.
That's right.
But anyway, Carl was interviewed by, asked by a person who was used to getting her way, that she asked for an appointment on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And Carl said, I'm sorry, I already have an appointment. I'm not able to meet with you at that time. And she was not very happy about that. But anyway, so she happened out to be on the lake in a boat driving by his house. And lo and behold, he was sitting in the backyard dangling his feet in the water. Now, of course, you can imagine what happened to her, right? She got really irate. And when she got home, she called him up and said, you know, you lied to me. You didn't have an appointment. I saw you sitting in the backyard dangling your feet in the water. And he very calmly replied, no, I did not lie to you. I had the most important appointment of the week, an appointment with myself.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, and I like to use that to illustrate my point so that we have an appointment with ourselves, you know, and make it a set item on the calendar and not an afterthought. Now, I'm not taking it a step further. Instead of once a week, I say once a day, but, you know, once a week is a good start.
Right. And it just, setting that time aside. Sometimes I had somebody that I was talking to on another podcast that said, oh, well, you know, I like to be selfish and take some time for myself. It is so not being selfish. It's like what it took me a while to realize, to realize that taking that time for yourself means that you're going to be way more present when you're doing your work. You're going to have better ideas. You're going to feel better. Like, you know, Greg and I, when we worked together for years, one of the reasons why I started to like Mondays was because that's the day that Greg would come into our main office, which is where I worked in. And like, we would go get burritos and we would talk about things. And it always involves food with us, by the way, Christoph. That's how it is. But we would you know, have good these idea. Ideas, these brainstorming things. And Monday was literally the best days of the week, where Tuesdays I would be like, wow, man, it's Tuesday. So, you know, it's all in how you look at it and setting time for yourself in certain ways. Like, for instance, doing this podcast, like, you know, we don't have to do this podcast. This is fun for us. Like, this is like our creative, like, we get to, first of all, I get to hang out with Greg again, which is great. Like, you know, we get to spend time together. But like, doing this is so much fun. And in some ways, well, you know what? Neither one of us are, you know, Greg's not spending time with his dogs or his kids or his wife. I'm not spending time with my cat or chickens or, you know, kids or wife. And it's probably bad that the wife came last on that list. We'll talk about that balance later. Maybe I should see your son. But like, you know, we got to feel okay about this. Like, this makes us feel like I'm going to go out there later. I'm going to be in like this great mood when I go hang out with my kids after the podcast, because I did something for myself that I enjoy doing, you know? And I think that that's hard to grasp. And I don't think you have to be Carl Jung to appreciate that. You know, like, I think everybody should learn to appreciate that, but it's a hard thing to teach. How do you teach that to people?
Well, just to piggyback a little bit on what you were saying about making your own well-being a priority, this is so anti-cultural. Like you were saying, it's selfish to put yourself first. The only time in our society when we get this idea correctly is on the airplane. What are you asking yourself first before you help somebody else? Mm-hmm. You know, and now we need to translate that into our own lives. Like you were saying, if you want to be the best version of yourself, you have to put yourself first and take care of yourself, because you can't be there, whether it's for your spouse or kids, or whether it is for your business associates, your employees, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're at your best when you are well-rounded. You know, and you say, for instance, this podcast is re-energizing you. That means you're going to be a better version of yourself afterwards. You know, and, you know, now if you have absolutely no time to spend with your loved ones, yeah, then that's probably a problem. But as a business owner, we have the beauty of deciding when we work and when we don't work. You know, so if our office hours go until 7 or 7:30 at night, okay, well, maybe I have more time in the morning, or I take a longer lunch break, or whatever. It's totally up to us. But you said a key point there. It's we have to give ourselves permission. And as a business owner, that's one of the things I see with business owners constantly. They have to get to the point where they allow themselves to do that. You know, one of my clients put it perfectly. She said, "Oh, it's so wonderful that you give me permission to put myself first."
Yeah.
You know, and when I heard that, I was like, wow, you know, that guilt feeling, you know, feeling guilty. We could always work more, always do more, you know. And that's why the whole idea of prioritizing is such a critically important component of the work I do with my clients. You know, what's on that famous to-do list that you have? All right. We all have it, or we should have it. You know, and it should be in writing. But before we even start, we need to look at what can we eliminate and what can we delegate. Mm-hmm. And once we take care of those two things, our to-do list should shrink dramatically.
Yeah, I want to dig more into the delegation aspect of what you just said, because that's a kind of a key philosophy that you have in working with the business owners, is that, you know, look for ways that, and look for tasks that you can delegate to others. And we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about delegation.
Delegation.
Welcome back to DIY for Business with Russ and Greg. You can find all of our podcasts on thebestbusinessnetwork.com, heard on Electricast Media, electricast.com. Check out both those sites when you get a chance. And if you could subscribe to our show, we really appreciate that. And we're lucky enough today to be speaking with Christoph Naur. He is a business coach and CEO of Balance 6 Incorporated. And before the break, we kind of touched on the concept of delegation. And along with that, delegation is also outsourcing and figuring out, you know, the concept of what should you be doing as a business owner or a manager, and what can you use other people so that it frees up some more time for you to be productive in what you're best at. And Christoph, I know that's a key concept in what you teach to your clients. So I hopefully you could expand on that.
Yeah, I'd love to. So usually, and I try to illustrate some of these concept with stories, because stories tell things better. So here's a dentist that came to me because his wife was about ready to give him the walking papers. And so he kept bringing work home. And when you think about it, dentist bringing work home, can you imagine? He's not bringing people's teeth home. No, he's bringing home a briefcase full of paperwork. Okay. Obviously he was doing other people's work. Now, his training was fixing teeth. You know, as a dentist, that's what you taught. You study for a long time to learn how to take care of people's teeth. And so he had to learn to just focus on that. You know, they never taught him how to run that as a business. So he was doing everybody's jobs. So he had to learn to let go, to delegate, you know, have him focus on the things that he studied and what he was an excellent, you know, what he was excellent at, which is fixing people's teeth. And everything else had to be done by somebody else. He had staff to do the paperwork, the billing, the scheduling, you name it. You know, he had dental hygienists to take care of the, you know, teeth cleaning. So it took him a while to be able to let go of that. But the result, the end result was a happy home life and about 15 to 20 new patients. So it was a total win-win situation right there.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of your clients have a difficult time kind of letting go of the control?
Yes. You know, I can do it fast. Oh, I can do it better. I don't have time for training. You know, so I said, well, you hired this person and you speak very highly of her. Now, if you want her to do the job that you hired her to do, you have to set aside time for training. Here's when time can have future value. Now, if you bring on people on a regular basis, you may want to consider recording your trainings. So when you have a new person coming on next time, you say, here, watch this first before our meeting on such and such a day. You know, but that's where people sometimes business owners are short-sighted. They look at the now and not at the future value. You know, I work with a client on doing performance reviews. You know, I don't know how many months we've been talking about that. Oh, I don't have time. It's been too busy. It's been, you know, I said, well, this is, I know you don't see the value in that because it's not a something where you can say, okay, I made this much money, or, you know, this is the project we did and it brought in this much money. But an employee who knows where he or she is doing well and where there is room for improvement eventually can grow, you know. But if we just take advantage of them and let them do their work and, you know, and that's it, and don't ever look at, hey, this is fantastic, I really love what you do, but here, there's something you could improve upon here, you know. So let's, in 3 months, 6 months, look at it again and see how you've done. You know, that can also improve your, not only your skill set, but your earning potential. You know, the other thing is with doing your own payroll or doing your own books. That's a complete waste of time.
Totally.
Unless that's your business.
Right.
You know, what happens then too is when we're not really good at something, what happens? We procrastinate, right?
Right.
Now, that task doesn't go away. No, it actually gets bigger and bigger, and it, you know, and it kind of like getting a putting on a backpack that consistently yeah. gets heavier and heavier and heavier. So it kind of zaps energy and motivation out of us, which obviously goes, you know, productivity goes down, you know. So, and then too, look at what is, as a business owner, what's your hourly rate? What is it that you're worth, you know, $200, $300, $400 an hour or whatever it is, whatever you charge your clients? Okay. Now, if you hire a bookkeeper, that bookkeeper will probably take care of your work, you know, at a rate of, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 an hour. So you're already mm-hmm. saving money right there. But not only are you saving money, you're also saving time. Because the time it takes for you to do the books now is freed up so you can do the things that the right. bookkeeper cannot do. So you save both mm-hmm. time and money. You know, not only that, the bookkeeper is an expert. He or she can get things done probably twice as fast right. as I can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I try to show my mm-hmm. clients, that they see that, you know. Because if, once you see that you can save time yeah. and money.
Yeah, you know, I love the advice on the yes, accountant, because I did a lot of that early on in, you know, when I ran my business. I did that for years, did all the invoicing, all the late payments, running the credit cards through, taking the checks down to the bank, like doing all of that stuff. And it just cost me so much time to do that. But I didn't realize it. I didn't really put a dollar figure on it. Until I made a mistake, a $10,000 mistake. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this because, first of all, it's not worth my time. Second of all, I could be making money instead of like counting money. You know, like it just doesn't make sense for me to do this anymore. Yes. And it was one of the best decisions ever just to offset that, to put that to somebody else, to like, you know, to take that time and – now I can go do, you know, service a couple more clients in that time. And it was such a relief as well. And I've got to mention, just because we're yeah. talking about yeah. this, and Greg probably knows where I'm going, automation, you know, like whatever you can do to automate things, to make systems and to make like, and to document systems as well. So if you're creating something and able to document that system, and then train somebody on that system, and you've got these bulletproof systems that now you don't need to do anymore. Somebody else can do. And instead of, you know, running every day like it's a marathon, you do a few sprints and now you can have somebody else on that. And that's always a big thing. Sorry, Greg, I had to mention automation again.
The Automation Sensation Podcast. If you haven't listened to it, go back to the archives. Listen to Automation You know what?
We'll give people a minute here to go check out that podcast, and then we'll take a break on this one. No, I'm just kidding. You know what though? I'm not kidding about the break though. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Thanks for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, part of the Best Business Network and ElectriCast Media. The Best Business Network is always growing. There's always new great business podcasts on there. They're all on the website. Please do go check it out. We've got some fantastic voices on there. I've learned so much by listening. and I feel like listening to all the various podcasts on the network is like taking up so much time for me, but it's like I have these on in the background as I'm doing, you know, some various, you know, levels of work. And this is where the switch doesn't work and it turns into a dial, because then I start listening to something and one of the podcasts makes a good point. Next thing you know, I'm Googling it. So, you know, it does cause that problem for me.
I mean, full transparency, Russ and I offline were having a conversation, and we both admitted that since doing this podcast, we've learned so much. We're better business people and just people in general. by all the things that we've learned from our different guests.
Loving the podcasting thing. So thank you for listening. It's truly thank you for listening. And we listen to the podcasts also. So it helps us. Hopefully it helps you as well. All right. So we had just touched on once again, my automation sensation episode that we did, where I basically, Greg just said, Russ, go. And for 30 minutes, I talked about various ways that you can automate your business. At least that's how I remember it.
it was my best job of interviewing I've ever done.
And then, how do you 30 feel about automation? Later, Russ, thanks for joining us today. But you know, that's the thing. So we had actually, during the break, we had talked to Christoph a bit about that, and he had said something: use technology to serve you. I love that. That also, by the way, something that you can have somebody else do is take care of your technology. An outsourced IT person, that's a fantastic idea too, because you don't want to spend your time, whatever, defragging your drive or setting up your networks. Like that's also or trying to figure out your printer. Oh man, I was trying to do that today. You want to hire somebody to do those things as well. But
do you have a camera in my office right now? Did you film me earlier today? Oh my goodness!
But Christoph, technology. Yes. How do you how can technology come into play when because some of us might look as technology as like, oh, this is the evil that is making us pull back into work because of all the notifications and us being able to take email with us and Slack messages with us. How does technology and can it contribute to a better work life balance?
Absolutely, as long as we control technology, not the other way around, you know. So, for instance, for me, I just upgraded to an absolutely incredible CRM. You know, it can do all kinds of stuff. I had no clue what it could do. Now, do I have a clue what that CRM can do? No, but I know people who can set it up for me and make it work for me. You know, so this is a perfect example. I saw the value in that. I don't have the tech knowledge, and I don't want to learn this stuff because my brain is not wired for technology, okay? You got to remember, I grew up in business school. I was learning on a manual typewriter with the keys covered, okay? And we were able to make three mistakes. If there was more than that, we had to start over. You know, used what's called whiteout. I don't even know people remember what that is.
Sure.
Okay. So no, technology, whatever I know today, I had to learn on the go, you know, but this CRM is fantastic. This thing it can do for me. But you mentioned something about IT. You know, one of my book sponsors, he is an IT guy and he focuses on businesses with five computers less. And almost every other IT person says, I want to have at least 10 computers or more.
Right.
So when I met him, I'm like, hey, you my guy. You want to be a sponsor in my book? And he's like, yeah, you know. Uh-huh. So this is perfect, you know. And I think we need to use technology to serve us and not the other way around. What I mean by that is if this little thing called an iPhone or whatever you're using – is controlling your life, then it's controlling us versus me controlling it. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I talk to my clients about turning that thing off, you know, whoa, that's just I can't do that. You know, And again, to give an example, I was trying to introduce the concept of office hours to a single mom with four kids who was trying to launch a real estate business. And she was like, you don't understand my industry. And I said, you're correct. I'm not a realtor. I'm a coach. But I can tell you one thing. Your kids will really resent you if you're never present for them. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be physically present, but that's about it.
Right.
And so it took her a while, but she eventually realized that I was right. I felt good about that when she told me. And then, so she then actually went as far as putting her availability in her outgoing voicemail message and her email signature. She's running now a multi-million dollar business, has about 5 or 6 members on her team. And just a couple of years ago, she emailed me and said, "Hey, you know, when you introduced that concept of office hours to me, that was nice. The best thing I learned from you." I'm like, "Oh, you know."
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think, you know, we focus so much on what the experience should be like at the office or when we're working. And sometimes we miss the flip side to that, is what should our experience be like when we're outside of work? And one of the most valuable things that I learned is, you know, in with regards to, you know, work-life balance is like, what's mm-hmm. important to you outside of work? How do you make time for what's important to you? Is it missing from your life, or are you doing enough of it? Because if you have that, that really gets you going. I think I mentioned at the beginning that, you know, over the weekend I played some golf. If I didn't mention it, I played some golf over the weekend, and it made me happy. And that was one of the things that I identified, that, you know, there were times, Christoph, where I worked too much. I knew I worked too much. I think Russ knew me during those times that I worked too much. And now I've made it a really conscious effort to find time to do things that I really enjoy, that fulfill me and fulfill my life. And I think that's made me a better CEO mm-hmm. because of that. And is that one of the concepts you work into your coaching as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. You hit the nail on its head. That's exactly correct. You know, you're being the best version of yourself by doing that, you know, and recognizing that and being mm-hmm. able to turn off. Because sometimes I ask my clients, okay, can you list 3 to 5 items that if you had those on a consistent basis in your life, it would be a game changer. What are they? You know, and I know some examples that came up is going for a walk, or taking a dog for a walk, go swimming, yoga, jogging, journal writing, talking to friends, listening to music, reading, a massage once a week, watching a comedy. I mean, the list goes on. This is just a few that popped in my head. And then I say to them, okay, that's good. Now make sure that you block time for these on your schedule. And I know that sounds really silly, right? I have to put on my schedule that I want to read a book, or that I want to do yoga, or I want to listen to music. But I've been working with a client now. She says she really wants to do yoga. So we worked on, okay, mm-hmm. book it, block time for it, you know, and that kept falling off. And then we talked about why. And she said, well, at least I did some stretching together with my sister. Does that count? I said, okay. All right. Well, maybe step in the right direction, you know. But most clients have been doing something a certain way, not just for years, sometimes for decades. So that means they mm-hmm. have to unlearn that, you know. And that's why coaching is a long-term process. It's not a quick fix thing. And in our society where everything is a quick fix, yeah. you know, the concept of coaching sometimes is foreign to people, you know. And I can't tell you, hey, you can flick a switch, you know, and it's done, because that'd be lying, you know. Each time I talk to a client in an initial consultation, when I ask them, how long have you experienced those challenges? Yeah. They usually say years, mm-hmm. sometimes forever, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, you know, you got to allow time for this. But I promise you, if you do the things I recommend, little baby steps every day, you will see the results. You know, the saying goes, how do you mm-hmm. eat an elephant?
Yeah, I think it's right. sort of, right. in a way, for a lot of people, it's like overcoming an addiction, which is not an overnight thing. You know, the work becomes mm-hmm. a bit of an addiction. Where you feel like you have mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. You have to have this to get your satisfaction, to get, you know, your whatever that satisfaction might be. And Exactly.
And there's guilt when you're not doing it.
And I don't know. Yeah. I do feel like the pandemic helped me to turn that around a little bit, because I was doing a lot of the things that, you know, would take me down that path of kind of a work-life balance. But when the pandemic happened and I was forced to slow down and I was forced to, like, kind of, you know, pay attention to the squirrels in the backyard, like it changed the way that I think. Do you think, do you see a difference post and pre-pandemic?
I think it's different for everybody because I've seen both. You know, I know my wife and I, we spend a lot more time walking together. So she's become kind of my coach. Hey, you tell everybody to take a break and do something for yourself. So when are you doing that? Like, okay, dear, you're right. You know, so I've seen that. Also, I've seen like how more families actually are out
and all together.
Mm-hmm. Kind of forced, you know, but good. But others too, like, you know, one client I'm working with, it has, you know, the separation from working in an office and working at home. For some, that was a huge challenge, you know. Now, for people who have always had home offices, that was not a huge change. But for those who left, you know, at 7:30 in the morning, went to the office and got home at whatever time, you know, usually they didn't continue to work at home. Some people did. Mm-hmm. But now that they're working from home, there is no more clear separation. So they have to develop that self-discipline of that separation, you know, on their own. So it's gone both ways, I think.
I mean, isn't it come down to when they're working from home, that time management? It's too easy to just walk downstairs, go into your home office and close the door, and then all of a sudden it's past dinner time, right? Yeah. You skipped lunch, you skipped, you know, taking the walk, you're taking the dog out. You get so wrapped up in what you're doing that you just miss a lot of stuff. And I find that, you know, if you're just better about managing your time, like you mentioned earlier, Christoph, schedule, right? Schedule yourself the walk, schedule yourself the yoga, schedule yourself lunch sometimes when you're working from home. How many people have I've talked to so many people says I forgot to eat because I got so wrapped up. So I think a lot of it just comes down to better time management and being disciplined about it.
Yes. No, absolutely. You're right. You know, and the concept that, you know, 1 minute of planning can save you up to 10 minutes in execution is sometimes people have to really start believing that. I say that to my clients almost every time we talk, you know. That's critically important that you have a plan and you have a schedule. And you made a great point with the lunch. You know, that's one thing I talk to my clients about, have a lunch break. Because, you know, this is, again, a cultural thing. You know, you sit at your computer, you work and eat something real quick, and the myth is that you're more productive.
Right.
Well, it's actually not the case. If you physically remove yourself from your office for 30 minutes or more, you're going to be more productive in the afternoon than if you don't. And also, your productivity is not higher if you work 12-hour days than versus 8-hour days.
Yeah.
That's a myth.
You know, you talked about technology on your side. Let me tell you. So these are some of the things that I've started doing that have helped me on the whole work-life balance in working from home. One of the things is I have like the Google Home speaker in the office that will, in the morning, it turns on the lights in the office and starts the radio so I can listen to the news in the morning while I'm starting to work. At a certain point, it throws on like some just like light jazz as well, which is cool. At 12 o'clock, it tells me to go have lunch, and it like shuts off all the media that's being played on it or whatever. So that now I'm just like, okay, I gotta go have lunch. At the end of the day, it shuts off. It tells me when it's 4:45 so that I know I've got about 15 minutes to end my day. And then it shuts off my lights at a certain time as well, which we might see in a few minutes here. I've also, you know, I've muted my Slack messages after a certain time I've turned off my iPhone messages after a certain time, except for certain important, you know, VIPs like Greg. And then I have it where I don't actually have email notifications on. I never do that. I have it where I go check email. It's not coming to me. I go to it so that I have certain times per each day that I go check email. And then I use the Pomodoro timer on occasion so that I can focus for 20 to 25 mm-hmm. minutes. And this is one that that Greg taught me, I don't know, a long time ago. It was like, if it's going to take me more than a few minutes to accomplish, throw it on the to-do list and you know, do it later. You know, like those five things have like completely helped me to get over that challenge of trying to get away from the seat that I'm going to sit in all day to run the business.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. I didn't even have a
clue. Oh yeah, Google man, awesome.
You know, no, and I don't want to promote Google and not Google, but what you're saying is a perfect example of how technology can help you. You know, so the music goes off or the light goes off. It's like, oh, it's very clear. Okay, light goes. Oh, it's time for that. You know. I mean, you know, yes, of course, you can put a little alert in here that says, okay, lunchtime or whatever, you know. But those are the things exactly that I'm talking about. Use the technology to help you. There's a reminder, hey, it's time to take a break, you know. But there's just so much psychology involved in this. Because we have to feel comfortable shutting the office down at 5 or 6 or whatever time we feel. Because if we walk away and then the rest of the evening we feel guilty and stressed out over not the things we haven't gotten done, then that's not quality time.
Right.
That's actually more stressful than if we were working on it. And that's why that goes back to the whole concept of prioritizing. We got to get the most important tasks done. You know, if we get the 8 tasks done, then we're good. You know, the 8 tasks are critically important. And if they don't get done, it has serious consequences on my personal health and on my business and on my relationships. You know, and those 3 are all part of my 6 in balance 6. You know, they're time, money, health, relationship, self-improvement, and spirituality. Those are the 6.
That's a great 6. And, you know, speaking of the 6, your company is called Balance 6 Incorporated. If people want to hire you, use you as a coach, I mean, you've obviously inspired both Russ and I. How can, you know, what's the best way for people to reach out to you and use you as a coach? Because I think you dropped some fantastic knowledge tonight. And I think that, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of what you're going to be able to share with them as clients.
Well, thank you. I think the website is the best because it points in every different direction. So it's called balance6.biz. The word balance, the number 6.biz. If they want, they can get my Amazon best-selling book from that website. It's called From No Time to Free Time, 6 Steps to Work-Life Balance for Business Owners. It also leads them to my podcast. Each video podcast is about 15 minutes-ish long, you know, and it's packed full of nuggets, golden nuggets that they can use and implement right away if they want. They can also contact me there to book a session with me. This is totally complimentary. We just look at, you know, where they want to go, what's holding them back, and discuss how working together might get them from where they are to where they want to go. So balance6.biz is the best
awesome.
Place
and
to
we,
go.
We will put a link to that and your book in the podcast description. Christoph, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure getting to know you and talking with you. You guys are having fun doing all this.
Well, we talked longer, but Google's going to turn off my lights.
So. I was having fun too. Yeah, good idea. You better listen to Google. You know, is Google the code name for your wife?
How did you know? How did you know?
Oh, just a wild guess.
Oh man, that was a lot of fun, Christoph. Thanks a lot.
And my thank pleasure. You for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and Electricast Media. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. All of the information provided is opinion-based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business situation. Greg and I want your company to succeed, and we are happy to take your questions. We would also love to hear your suggestions for future episodes. If there's an area where you need solid business advice or help, let us know, and we might be able to build an entire episode around it and get your questions answered. You can reach out to us on our website at DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. We also love talking to business owners, so if you're a business owner, head over to the website, use the contact us form, and we will get back to you right away. We thank you again for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electricast. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, the podcast that combines spirituality with creativity. Here, guests from around the world share their stories and insights on navigating life's challenges through art, music, and creative expression. Connect to yourself, others, and the world through empowering conversations viewed through a spiritual lens. I'm Ilan Azulay, your host, a spiritual mentor, and a sound therapist. Electricast.